This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Aileen Burke. Now, thanks for joining us today with your hectic schedule and everything this week.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Just to jump into it, just tell us a bit about yourself and why you decided to run for council in this election.
All right. So I am currently a master's student finishing off my master's in political science studying homelessness and poverty. I work for a public affairs firm based in Toronto and for the Canadian Mental Health Association here in Lethbridge. Why I decided to run, there's a couple reasons. One, I've been involved in plenty of community kind of fringe groups on the sidelines here who have been working really hard to get a movement going and their voices, messages across. And I've heard time and time again how difficult it is to bring those concerns and issues that they've been having forward to council. And so rather than being on the sidelines, I kind of want to be able to be that voice, to be able to reach out to those groups and bring those voices forward. But also for a diversity aspect as well, for a younger crowd, more women as well. The biggest demographic of voters in Lethbridge is under the age of 35, and we have nobody on council who's under the age of 35. And so I think it's just a combination of all of those things.
Awesome. I don't know, how long have you been in Lethbridge?
I have lived in Lethbridge since I graduated from Vauxhall in 2004, okay. 2005, I moved to Lethbridge.
Awesome. Yeah. So you've been within close proximity of the city for quite a while then. What do you think are the 3 most pressing issues that we're facing at the moment, and what sort of attention would you like to give them if you were elected?
My priorities versus what I've been hearing in the election might differ a little bit, but what I've heard through the forums and through the election, speaking to people, there's a lot about transit is a high priority for people this election. Curbside recycling has been a hot topic this election as well. My personal priority would encompass those in a broader scope, but homelessness and poverty, I think Lethbridge has we have a large homeless population and a very large low-income poverty-stricken population here in the city that largely gets ignored that I would like to address, as well as building safe, inclusive communities where even just as a good example, our Pride Fest this past summer, what happened with the sidewalks just goes to show how much work we still have to do to get to that safe, inclusive spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, you were saying a lot about poverty and homelessness. Now, Lethbridge has the second highest low-income rate in Alberta, I believe it is.
We have the second highest child poverty rate.
Child poverty.
I am not positive on the low-income rate. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but we definitely have the second highest child poverty rate.
Okay. Now, what kind of actions could the city take in helping with that situation?
So I think the struggle with that is it's a systemic problem. And so it's municipal government is responsible for setting policy and governance to foster an environment that allows business to alleviate some of those concerns. So, I mean, we could easily implement things like scale pricing for transit passes for scale to income. That's what we're looking for. We could be looking at partnerships with our home builders for more affordable housing options, for more housing options in general. We could be looking at more community gardens and urban food growth, so we can be a little bit more self-sustainable and people can feel both empowered but also help reduce some of that pressure of that poverty tends to just drive the cycle, right? And so Those are just a couple very tangible, easy things that we could be helping facilitate.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks. Now, Ben, you had a question about the performing arts facility, I think.
Sure. One of the main things that we focus on our podcast is the arts within the community and within the country. We do a bit of looking at all of that sort of thing. We know that the design and planning phase for a new performing arts facility has been brought forward to council. I've heard in the past that some people are in favor of combining the performing arts facility with a convention center, which Lethbridge obviously needs. Both of the facilities, I think, Lethbridge is in need of. What are your thoughts on combining the two?
You know, I'm mixed on that. I think that if you are going to combine the two, that you will have to have some pretty high-tech architecture. I personally think I would be a proponent of keeping them separate. I think they're meant for two separate purposes, and they have very different needs and desires for space for what they need for their space requirements. And I think that they could very well be in different locations in the city. And so I don't think it's necessary to combine the two. And I don't know, I'm not an architect, but depending on how the planning and the drawings go, how much money you would actually save by combining the two if you had to accommodate so many specific requirements for each separate building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my worry with combining is definitely architecturally. I mean, if you're trying to accommodate one of the buildings, and I feel like something's going to lose out. And history, I think,
well, both end up losing out.
Yeah, for sure, both end up losing out. But if one is going to lose out, it's probably going to be the one that's not going to accommodate a business type facility, which would mean the arts would lose out.
Mm-hmm. More than likely, yes, unfortunately, but that's probably the harsh reality of it.
Yeah.
So I agree. It's I think it's probably safer and a more opportune option to split, to keep the two separate and just move forward with the CIP that has already approved the building of the Performing Arts Center and just full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you did bring up the CIP. Now, over the next couple of years, until 2021, we've earmarked about $7 million of the CIP to the design and planning phase of the Performing Arts Center. However, in 2021, the Municipality Sustainability Initiative expires, and we're not too sure what's going to be replacing it to help fund municipalities. I think our city got about $21 million last year. Or this year for the CIP. So I'm just curious, where do you think we would be able to get future funding or diversify our funding for a facility like this?
That's a good question. I think this is that would be a combination approach of working in collaboration with our other levels of government to see what grants are available to help, even matching grants or what have you to help supply funding for that, but as well, I think City Council right now and the city as a whole could stand to have a review of what we're spending our money on right now, what's necessary according to the MGA, the Municipal Government Act, and what we're kind of just offering, what we're spending money on, and if that's really what we want to be spending our money on, and kind of reviewing our priorities and seeing where we can save some money in those regards, and then that can be put towards things like a performing arts center or a convention center. The priorities that the citizens have clearly identified.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So with the government moving towards the legalization of marijuana, hopefully by July 1st, was their plan. The provincial government released a framework for the legislation to purchase and have marijuana on your person. What do you see City Council's role will be in the implementation of these policies?
I don't really see it as any different than alcohol or tobacco. And so I think that there's obviously going to be conversation around where you're allowed to set up a shop to sell it, or where you're allowed to host a lounge to, like, if you had, say, like the hookah lounge or whatever that we have here, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to have to be safety parameters around it. You probably shouldn't have that set up beside a school. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it as any different than any other legalized substance that we're allowed to sell.
So would you see it being also then a private enterprise for, rather than a government-operated sort of business?
We know this one kind of touches on that provincial power, however.
Yes.
Curious as to what you're
saying. Yeah.
Because I ask because in BC, when they started hearing about the legalization, I know that their liquor stores are all provincially run. There's no private business.
Right. That's similar to Ontario. Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think that government needs to be in control of this. I think we have very competent, capable business owners that are able to follow the law and follow the bylaws and the policies that city government hand out. I know I did just recently hear that the province was talking about making it a government run thing. And if that's the way they choose to go, then obviously the municipality mm-hmm. will have a role in that. But mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that has to be, that's the end all be all, if that's the way it should go. Mm-hmm. I think our businesses are more than capable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Perfect. Now, another topic that we tend to touch on are youth issues within our city. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, in our last civic election, we had about 29%. Voter turnout, and the demographic for young voters that like 18 to 35 was really, really low as well. I'm just curious, what do you think city council's role is, or is there a role for city council to engage young and new voters?
I think there's a role for city council to be engaging in every demographic in the population, young, new voters included. And I think that involves going out to those community groups and making yourself accessible to them and accountable to them, where they feel like they can approach you. I think that also means having people that represent them on council. And so, I'm 31. I don't necessarily want to go talk about youth issues with somebody who's 72 who might not get it. And I don't think there's anybody on council who's 72 right now. I'm just throwing out a number. But I think it's a matter of accessibility, accountability, and actually having adequate representation available to you so that way you feel like your voice is being heard.
Absolutely. Now, just a quick follow-up to that. A proposal that was brought forward at the municipalities convention or a gathering of municipalities by one of our own city councilors, Jeff Kaufman, was to lower the voting age to 16. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I love it. Yeah. I'm totally in favor of this. I think, you know, the reality is our 16-year-olds are out in the workforce. They are a large, especially in Lethbridge. We have a high population of working young adults who I would consider 16-year-olds. 16-year-olds are allowed to join the reserve. The family dynamics of what used to work in politics back in the 40s, 50s, where we had a one-parent working household, two-parent household, but one person working. So those conversations around the dinner tables were an expected reality, aren't reality anymore. And so I think by statistically, we know that if we're able to engage voters younger and that if they start voting right away, then they are more likely to vote throughout their entire life. So if we're able to start hitting those students right while they're in high school and starting that practice right away and educating and finding that hook for them when they're 16, then I think we should absolutely take that opportunity and run with it.
Absolutely. I am totally on board with you on that. So, so thanks. Excellent. Well, I think that's all the questions we have so far. Ben, do you have anything else here?
I don't have any more questions, but I would offer you the opportunity if you have something that we didn't touch on that you'd like to say or closing remarks or things like that, this would be a good time for that.
really bad at closing remarks, summarizing things in general.
That could be your closing remark.
There we go. It could be. I think it's just really important that this time around that we remember to, that even though it's a lot of work, that we do our due diligence and actually look into our candidates that we think are going to be best suited for representing what you're looking for in our community, and that change is okay. It's scary, but it's okay. And so just keep that in mind when you're thinking about who to put an X beside on whatever day you decide to go vote. Don't forget to vote.
For sure.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today. I think we definitely learned a lot, and we wish you the best of luck come October 16th.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your efforts in putting this together.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, excellent to hear from Aileen. Nice to hear a youth voice who's running for council and hopefully can represent some more young citizens of Lethbridge.
That was a great sentence.
Thanks.
Yes. I should clarify. I didn't ask a silly question. I didn't fully form my question about the private enterprise for the sale of marijuana. I get when I was in Vancouver, I know that there was a lot of uproar about how private businesses were hoping to sway to be able to sell marijuana privately. And the city council, or I know that there was a group of people who was opposed to or hoping to stop that from happening. They thought it should be a government-controlled thing, and there was a lobby for that. So I was wondering what her position would be should private enterprise be able to sell marijuana.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, having grown up in BC and then moving to Alberta, like, even with liquor stores, like you said, it was shocking to me to go into a private liquor store.
Yeah.
It felt really weird. So,
And they never used to be like that. Alberta also used to have government liquor store. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that it's the AGLC who's going to be in charge of the distribution of marijuana, but they're just not sure who's the...
Yeah.
Like, what the storefront looks like.
And for sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of... Like, I can see both sides of it where I'm like, oh, that would be a really great business opportunity for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, man, when you're putting something like this out there right away where it's been so controversial, like, it might be a good idea to have
caused some problems.
A bit more oversight and then maybe hand it off to private enterprise. But
yeah. See how it goes.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who's to say?
I'm not a politician.
Me neither.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? I'm just some idiot with a microphone.
Yeah.
So we're close.
We are close.
To being politicians, I mean.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we wish Aileen all the best. And remember to get out there to vote October 16th.
Get out the vote.
Get out the vote. All right. Well, you've been listening to Sightlines.
Thank you for listening to Sightlines Special Electoral Report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.